All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn. Until now, we're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Barn Talk Hot Topics episode. I know we haven't had a guest on in a while, guys. We are very aware. We just really wanted to make sure that we got these heating units installed so that our guests are comfortable, because no one likes to be super cold. And we got them in finally, and it feels good in here. It's like 60 degrees, 61 degrees right now. And it's a relatively really cold day today. So if we can get it up to 61 on a day like today, we feel like when it's, you know, 30, 40, we'll be able to get it really warm. So that's positive news. And I also wanted to say we didn't get a chance to put a podcast out before Thanksgiving or during Thanksgiving, but we just wanted to say we are super grateful and thankful for every single one of you guys that has tuned in and ever supported one of our podcasts. It means the entire world to us. Without you guys, none of this would be possible, and we absolutely love doing it. We hope you guys had an amazing Thanksgiving with your loved ones and your friends. We did here at This'll Do Farm and Barn Talk, so we just appreciate it very, very much.
Yeah, I'm kind of in awe every time that I don't mess around with the numbers and how it's doing very much, but Spotify, or was it Anchor?
It was Spotify.
Just put out, like, they do an annual kind of update of what everything is, and I was amazed and am thankful to each and every one of you that have shared this show, because it's one of the most shared podcasts in our category, and there really isn't a category for, well, there isn't, let's face this, you can't put us in a category. I think our category is business, but it should be like
culture,
business, ag, culture,
yeah,
whatever. And it's just amazing. 23, there is a lot of changes coming. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of changes, but really good changes. So for one, my oldest son, Sawyer's older brother, Clay, is going to be our executive producer. And basically that means somebody to run the asylum. So he's going to keep us organized. So hopefully there's not going to be these gaps like we've had. We're going to try to be pretty consistent, and he's going to keep us on track and make sure the cameras are running and make sure the mics don't quit working and make sure all the outlines get done. Basically all the stuff. He's going to make us look professional.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also going to be reaching out to guests constantly, which is great. And, you know, that will, because we don't always have the time to reach out to a ton of guests. So having somebody that's constantly trying to get people on the podcast will be a big help, because sometimes we go in gaps like this where we do four podcasts in a row, which if we could have found a guest, we could have not had this, you know, this gap. So that's going to be a big, big help for us. And I'm really excited for it to happen. Dad's excited. We're slowly but surely growing this thing and making it better and better and better. And that's our goal. We just want to reach as many of you guys as we possibly can, do some good in this world, have some interesting people on, and talk about shit that not everybody wants to talk about. So thank you to all that have been paying the fee and
continue to
pay the fee, guys. So if you get any value from this show specifically, you know the drill. Share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, employees, whoever. A lot of you have done that really, really well, and we see you guys sharing it. Just keep on doing that, because, like I said, that makes everything better. We get to have better guests on. The more recognition we get, the better content we can create for you guys. So that's kind of the ticket of admission to watch or listen to the show. So,
and the benefits just keep rolling in.
Yeah.
As you can see, Fireball is sporting his new winter PSI coat.
Yep.
Shout out to Super Tim, second best salesman ever to worked at PSI, and dropped off those coats and these koozies, and AP also sponsor of the koozie or the Yeti. Mm-hmm. So, see, We're really
shameless plug. No sponsorship there, but yeah. Shameless plug. Yeah. These are pretty nice coats.
They are.
Keep me warm. So we do appreciate that. Shout out to you, PSI. But yeah, we're going to get right into the hot topics. And the first topic is one of our favorite people to follow and talk about, Mr. Elon Musk and the whole Twitter deal. There's been some news recently of Twitter kind of getting shunned potentially by big tech, Apple. There was rumors that had surfaced that Apple and the Google Play Store were looking to remove Twitter as an app to download due to Elon making it kind of a censor-free platform, you know, not canceling people, essentially.
Bringing back all the people that they would have preferred to have stayed canceled.
Right, right. So, and just to name a few, like Jordan Peterson and Donald Trump are back now back onto the platform, which I think is great. We need
Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee. There's plenty of them out there that got removed from the platform, but now are back on. But just recently, I think yesterday or today, Tim Cook and Elon kind of sat down and had a meeting with each other, and turns out, quote unquote,
it was just a misunderstanding.
It was just a misunderstanding that, you know, Tim Cook would never remove Twitter from the App Store. And he's the CEO of Apple, if you didn't know that. But pretty much backing off and letting people know that that would never happen. We were never intending to do that. Truly what I think, and Dad's going to give you his thoughts in a minute, but I think that he saw the backlash he was going to be receiving if he were to do that. So he decided, yeah, we're not going to go through with that at all. But that's just my opinion. I don't know all the answers, and we won't know all the answers because we weren't in that meeting, but you can speculate, and that's my speculation.
There are a lot of moving pieces in this whole thing. So I think if you back up, Twitter's never made any money since it IPO'd. And when Elon set out to buy it, I don't think many people in big tech and on the left or in politics in general really thought through the ramifications of him getting control of Twitter. And there are so many things that you can talk about on this. I think one of the most curious things is how bloated that company was and how many people were working there drawing a paycheck and doing nothing. Because it's totally lost in the media. Nobody really talks about it. But the idea that he purchased a company and got rid of like 6,000 employees and it's running like a top is just unheard of. Like, you can't do that unless you have an incredible amount of people that were working there that really weren't doing a whole lot. And I think history is going to show us that Twitter had become just kind of a bloated mouthpiece of far left socialists, liberal, I don't even want to say liberal. I want to say
woke
politics, ideology. And it really, none of those people were really adding any value to the company. And when Elon took it over and made those moves, the second kind of oh shit moment was when big tech and politicians realized that everything that you put out, everything that you put out on the internet, your search history, your Twitter history, your Facebook history, all of that, once it's out there forever. It's living on a server somewhere. And there is so many conversations, private and public, that are on the servers at Twitter. And I think now big tech and the political machine, they're kind of like scared shitless because they don't really know how much access, like how good a job they did of scrubbing stuff they don't want people to know about. Well, I don't think it's like Snowden, but I think there's a lot of damaging information there that if Elon really wanted to go scorched earth, he could do it. And I think that plays into why Tim Cook decided, okay, we better take this down a notch, because I think it could have gotten pretty ugly.
Yeah, I think they are fearing him because he's kind of a Freemason and he's standing for freedom and he is standing for no censorship. And so when they, yeah, I think the big techs always had the power and they never thought that a wealthy guy that isn't bought by the establishment's going to come in and buy it and see those servers. I don't think they ever thought that that would happen.
This is on this, but this is something I just learned this today. I was watching a Discord about Web 3.0. Do you know that in the world today, almost 60%, I want to say it's like 58, 59% of all web traffic that goes throughout the world goes through Apple, Google, and Amazon. They control that much of the internet traffic. And then I don't know who the rest of it is. But another really interesting statistic is that your search history, everything that you do online, that information, your shopping habits, how much time you spend on social media, that is all sold. You don't get anything for it. That's all sold. And it's sold multiple times a day. What you look at, what you do every day. And it's sold for basically a 50th of a cent, I want to say, is about what it works out to be. They sell that information per person for a 50th of a cent. However, the people that use that information, somebody's done the math on this, it equals, in them being able to use those demographics and tailor ads to people like you and you, it works out to be about $30,000 a month, and you get none of it. So big tech has a huge incentive to use each and every one of us and control us and control what we see and how we shop and what we do.
And keep us on the platforms.
And so in the big, big picture, somebody like Elon coming into Twitter, he's a wild card, and those guys do not like that because they don't know what is going to happen there, what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. But to what your original point was about Tim Cook, so my theory on this, and you can take it for what it's worth, I think that the Tim Cook call with Elon, and then Elon ended up going to Apple headquarters, and the meeting went very well, and you know it was all fine. I think that if what is going on in China today had not affected the Foxconn iPhone factory, I don't know if that would have happened. Because I honestly think that in the back of Tim Cook's mind, he knows that if provoked, Elon Musk would probably launch his own phone. And I've talked about this. I talked about it like a year ago, that with the Starlink system, he's really not beholden to a carrier. However, Verizon has approached him, from what I've heard, that they would be interested in working with them on a phone. But if you're Tim Cook and you know that your iPhone production is headed in, it could really be decimated before this Chinese thing is done. And you know that if Tesla was to build a phone, that phone would be built here in America, and the chips, the screen, the case, all that production would be done here, which is a marketing win in the situation that we're in, because people want to buy American. We see what's happening in China, and we don't want anything to do with that. And I think Tim Cook made a calculated move to kind of smooth that out, because I think if everything wasn't happening as it is in China, I don't know if that call would have happened.
Yeah, I think that it's exactly what you're saying. I think it was he didn't want to provoke him and make him go down that right route. And maybe Elon straight up told him that in the meeting, like, hey, buddy, you take me off, I'll create my own phone. I don't care. And I think it was a mix. I think it was a mix of that. Tim Cook knows that. Maybe Elon told him that. And also the backlash he was already receiving from the rumors from the public.
Yeah.
The reaction from the rumors, the public's reaction of the rumors and the backlash he was already receiving about potentially taking him off the platform. Yeah. So I think people are scared of Elon because he is kind of a Freemason and he's not from that world. He is, you know, he is part of the, you know, Silicon Valley, so to speak, but he isn't really a big tech.
The thing that makes Elon Musk dangerous in that circle is the fact that I truly believe that he's not money motivated. I mean, obviously he has more money than he knows what to do with anyway, but that's not his driving. His driving factor is getting to Mars and to speed up the world's adoption of renewable energy. And he doesn't just, it's not just a slogan to him. Like most big tech execs, they have a slogan, but they want their paycheck.
Their politics. They're politicians, yeah. Essentially.
And Elon isn't that way. And so it's very, I think he can't be controlled. You know, a lot of people think that there's a lot of opinions, good and bad, and you've seen it on Twitter. Did you see Melissa Milano's talk? She's a has-been actress that just tries desperately to somehow stay relevant, and she posted that she turned her Tesla in and she went and bought a Volkswagen because of the racism and toxic masculinity and I can't remember what. And then someone kindly reminded her about Volkswagen's Dieselgate, and the origins of Volkswagen was started by the Nazi German regime. I mean, that's how it got started. She didn't, it kind of shut her up real fast. But anyway, I get off the subject. The Twitter story is far from over, and it's going to take a long time for this to all play out. But I think at the end of the day, Twitter is going to turn a profit and it is going to become much more valuable than what Elon paid for it. And I think eventually it will go back and be public, but it's going to be a payment platform. It's going to be a short form, long form, subscription form social media company. I think it's going to be like YouTube, but yet it's going to have elements of like Patreon to where you can have subscription content. And I think that's another reason why big tech is afraid, because I think it could be an absolute juggernaut.
Yeah, I do too. I think that I'm very happy with Twitter so far. And I think anybody that fucks with Elon knows that the dude could become the real life Tony Stark. I mean, really, the guy can invent just about anything. The guy has the people, really smart people in his corner. He knows his shit. And I think also a thing that Elon really strives for, it's not just like renewable energy. I think he just looks at problems and he says, I'm going to solve that. That's a big enough problem for me to go and solve. And I think he looked at Twitter and he looked at the landscape of social media and he said, this is becoming a big, big problem, and if nobody does anything about it, if nobody comes out and creates a platform that's censor-free, we're headed into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And so I'm very, very happy and thankful that he did buy it, because I think it's set the platform. A lot more conversations are going to happen on Twitter from both sides of this aisle, which I think is great.
Yeah. it's going to drive change because it's healthy competition between the other social media platforms that are out there. And that is good. That is a good thing, because what we've had pretty much is all of your social media platforms have kind of just rubber stamped whatever the woke movement in this country has been, and whatever the narrative pushed by the government, the politicians in power, that has been their rubber stamp. Okay, so-and-so gets deplatformed here, he's going to get deplatformed everywhere. You know, the people that have been thrown off of social media that are, by all standards for most people, not extreme at all. I'm not saying that there's people that shouldn't be off social media, but I think there's a heck of a lot of people that were thrown off Twitter that had no, really had no reason for that to happen. And with Twitter in the hands of Elon Musk, I think you have a check against that. I think you have a different point of view and a different editorial view on information. And I think it's going to challenge everybody else, which at the end of the day, competition is healthy.
Yeah, it is healthy. It's a good thing. We need censorship-free platforms.
Speaking of censorship,
holy
freedom.
Shit. Yeah. Speaking of that, Dad kind of referred to it a little bit in the last point, but China, what a fucking wreck that is. I mean, if you guys have spent any time on Twitter or seen any of the videos that have surfaced about what's going on in China, China's COVID crazy right now. I empathize with anybody, a citizen living in China, that can't get the hell out of there, because what a shit show that is. Pretty much China's completely going against its people with full on control of COVID. Tons of videos I've seen and liked, so many videos have surfaced showing drones spraying unknown chemicals onto its people, trying to quote unquote
disinfect,
right? Welding apartment complex doors shut, health authorities carrying assault rifles when testing people daily. 90,000 isolation pods are being constructed to hold citizen who test positive for COVID. Some of them are done and they're already putting people in them, but they're constructing more and more as they put people in the ones that get built. Also, China has a health passport, if you didn't know that, for its citizens, and they have it on their phone. And if your status is yellow, it becomes yellow, which is you were probably by somebody with COVID or you got COVID. I don't know the statuses, green, red, yellow, whatever. But I know if you get yellow as a status, you now have to become homeless. So you can't go back to your home. You
can't
have
to go to work.
Can't go to work, can't stay at hotels, can't take any public transportation, and getting food is kind of an issue too. Can you imagine that? They scan you, they give you a COVID test. Hopefully the COVID test is 100% a good test to take, and you get positive, and then you get kicked out of your home and you can't do really anything, and you become homeless. I mean, just absolutely fucking wild what's going on there.
I will just say this. This is my personal opinion. I think that you're seeing the very beginning of China as a country unraveling. And the reason I say that is because the leader of China, he has isolated himself to the point that there is nobody that gives him advice. Well, there isn't anybody that gives him advice. He gets no advice.
Yeah, we talked about this on previous podcasts. They either get shot, thrown in the river. If they give him an opinion, he doesn't like.
Everybody that is around him just
obeys.
Says, yep, that's a great idea. That's what you ought to do. So there's no pushback for bad policy, and their COVID policy has been trash. And as we said before, the initial outbreak of COVID in China, they were not going to use any of the vaccines that were produced in the West. They produced their own, and it was only about 60% effective against the original coronavirus. And that success rate, if you start at that and then you go to all the mutations, it's it's basically nothing. It basically has no effect. And China has built their economy, and our people, for whatever reason, want to hold them up, and they want to give them a pass on all of the shit that they have pulled, because the world is kind of like our society in the fact that we love to build people up, and then we love to tear them down. And the world has been in the process of really enjoying trying to tear down America for pretty much the last 50 years. And so there's been this push to hold up China, that it is the future, and that their government, their plan of using communism with capitalism and a planned economy has been, that's the answer, that's the future. They're going to be the point, they're going to be the society everybody else looks at and wants to model themselves after. Well, it's coming to a head that obviously it's not. Just about everything that you need to have a productive society is in decay. And by that I mean, and shout out to Peter Zion, because
they say this about every time we talk about China.
You have to talk about the demographics of China. They have the worst demographics of anywhere in the world. In other words, their population is completely upside down. It's a, what you want as a society is you want a pyramid where you have a few old people at the top and you have a big pile of people at the bottom, and the people at the bottom are all consumers,
and they're young.
They're all workers.
They're young.
And so they're going to create a lot of stuff, and they're going to buy a lot of stuff. And then the people at the top accumulate a lot of wealth, but they don't need anything. And as they pass away, that wealth gets transferred down. China's demographics are a perfect pyramid, except it's in reverse. They have a huge population of older and aging people, and because of their one-child program, they have almost nobody at the bottom. And that is a recipe for absolute disaster, and it's within a decade. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It is within a decade you're going to see China collapse, and come back and watch this, because I am convinced of it.
So, well, yeah, and then food.
You have
no fucking food production, barely any fucking food production.
They have to import everything.
Hoard everything.
All of the arable land is in the same place where there's water for people to live. So they have tried and tried and tried to use technology to become food independent, and they can't do it. They're... economy has built on this idea of government infrastructure. The government has built and built and built. And you've seen the videos of these cities that literally sit empty because they have overbuilt housing and urban development where there's no people. And now you have a housing crisis. And people don't realize, we talked about it here a few weeks ago, about people are paying mortgages in China on houses that are either partially constructed, and the people that are building the houses went bankrupt, or they're paying a mortgage on a house that isn't even built, that's sitting on a plot of land that a developer, there's no developer to build it.
Because they're out of business.
Now then, that same bunch of people are being rounded up and locked in their apartments. These people have been suppressed for their entire lives. And the other thing, and I don't know if you know this or not, and I you need to check this out on your own, because I don't know the exact number. But when we think of China, you think of the Chinese people of all, they're all the same. They're all Chinese. They all look Chinese. They're all Chinese. They're not. For the most part of written history, China has been at civil war. I don't know the exact number, but there's at least 20-some-odd different ethnicities or religions, groups, ethnic groups, religious groups, however you want to say it. There's over 20. I don't know if it's 23, 25, 29. I don't know. But all of those groups have fought for power within that country for centuries. And today, the CCC, or the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, that is ran by one ethnicity, one group. They control everybody else. And they are keenly aware. That's why the crackdown is so hard on this. And you saw the same thing if you go back to the 80s, Tiananmen Square. It is the same. It is the same deal. They are scared to death because if they lose control, China will spiral into absolute civil war that could take it back. They'll never recover if that happens. But I think that you're already seeing it. And anybody that thinks that China is going to dominate the world and China is uniting with Russia, Russia is the second worst country for demographics behind China. So they can unite all they want. The truth is, their government is in decline, and I am afraid that what you're seeing now is just the very beginning of it. And it's not going to happen overnight, but I feel sorry for the people in China because the government's reaction is going to be harsh, and as the protests get worse, their reaction's going to get worse.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, people are riots are already happening. Uprisings are starting. People are starting to rebel and are really getting sick of this shit. You already see police force out with riot shields. You see them patrolling the streets. I actually saw another video that showed drones overhead of a group of people that are out on the streets, and they're sending out a message in Chinese from the drone. The drone is the one echoing the voice to the people, telling them, I don't know Chinese, so I couldn't, you know, obviously.
But get out of the streets.
Pretty much home. Probably get out of the streets, get into a home because COVID and all that. But that got in my other point. I think you nailed everything on China. I think they got, not only their demographics are fucked, their food production's fucked, they're pissing off their people every chance they possibly can. They're controlling them, over-controlling them. One party rules all, which all the other ethnic groups hate, I'm assuming.
And they're using technology to do it.
Yeah. They're using technology to force them and all that. So that was my point here. With that drone that was echoing this message over to people, it really begged the question in my mind, you know, is it, should we accept all technology that comes out? This is a case of, and the reason I say that is because I saw a really good Instagram story from Andy Frisella, and he wrote out that exact thing, saying, this is the first time technology has come into our world. You know, no other civilization had what we have, we think anyway, right? And for a long time, it's come, and it's come really fast. And for a long time, since the start, we've just accepted it. Every new gadget, every new toy, everything that comes out, we just accept. And it's starting to get kind of scary because of that kind of shit. They have a fucking drone flying over citizens, telling them, echoing a message to get in and get out of those streets and all that. Well, what if they put guns on that drone? Those are the things that really worry me. And I think people are just so inclined to say yes before thinking about what that technology could actually be used for to our detriment as human beings. And so I think that we got to put that in our mind sometimes when new stuff comes out. Like, I don't know. Is that going to be good for us in the long run? Or should we just accept it like we've been accepting everything else? I believe we should probably look at things a little bit more wider and think about the long-term ramifications that piece of technology could inflict on us. And I love technology. Don't get me wrong. We love technology. We wouldn't be doing this without technology. Technology's great. In so many different fields, we've advanced as a human race tenfold because of it. But there's some stuff that it is pretty fucking scary if the wrong people get their hands on it. And that's one example that I saw that just really kind of scared me. And also the spraying of the disinfectant they claim being sprayed on the streets and on the citizens of China. that's messed up, man. That's really, really messed up. And it's something to think about. It really is something to think about. I encourage people to think about that.
Well, as powerful as that, you talked about what I think is as powerful technology, maybe even more so, that I hope does not come to the rest of the world. And that is, in China, when you talked about if the app goes to yellow, you're locked out of your
apartment. Homeless.
You're homeless. Mm-hmm. So they literally have built that society to where you do everything with your phone.
Social credit score.
So they're on a digital currency. You don't need cash. You don't use cash for anything. You use your phone because they're on a digital yuan or whatever it
yen.
Is.
Yen.
I think it's Japanese yen. It's a Chinese
I don't know.
Yuan or whatever.
You can tell us in the comments. I might not know. But
anyway, so you use your phone for everything. But by the same token, every purchase you make, every decision you make affects your social credit score. And if you do not do what they want you to do, how you want to do it, your social credit score goes down, and to the point that you may not be able to buy a house, you may not be able to buy a car, you might not be able to get back into the apartment that you had
before your score went to shit.
Because your score went to shit, or
can't get into a restaurant, can't get in an Uber, can't get into a taxi.
And with them, it is all about controlling that population. But don't kid yourself. What do you think? That is exactly what is happening here in America at a corporate level with your, what's that called? ESG score. Mm-hmm. Environmental, social, governance score. It is the exact same thing. We are letting our politicians dictate to companies what they should invest in. So that's one of the biggest things. I won't go off too far, but that's one of the biggest things that's hurting oil exploration is so big investment houses don't want to invest in
oil
fossil
companies.
Fuel because it hurts their ESG score because they're worried about that. Okay, how long do you think it'll be before ESG comes to the individual? I hope a really long time, and you need to vote for people that do not support ESG scores. But to your point about the drone, the other problem we have in our society is every new technology that comes out, who are the first people to throw money about it? The military. The military is working on cutting-edge technology all the time, which, on the one hand,
great when you got you, yeah. Great when we got to fight somebody.
Yeah, because you know in Ukraine, we're giving them Stinger missiles and we're giving them javelins. Well, we don't really care about that because our military, we don't really use Stingers or javelins because we have technology that's way better than that. So they're kind of doing us a favor. Well, not really, because we're giving it to them. If they were buying them from us, it'd be great because we're getting rid of them because we didn't really have a use for them because our technology is so far ahead of that. But when you get to machine learning, AI, you know, I don't care what it is, drone technology,
5G.
All of this stuff, the military is the one that's on the cutting edge, and the military is controlled by politicians. And unless you're a first-time listener, you'll know that our opinion of politicians on either side of the aisle to make competent decisions for the betterment of society is not very high.
Well, I think it's politicians, but also elites.
Yeah.
People that...
It's a military-industrial complex.
Right. It's just not just politicians. It's politicians, people in the military, government, and the elitists that run this world that are crooked as fuck and... I don't know, you know, doing terrible things. Yeah, I agree. I think I mentioned 5G because I'm pretty sure 5G is what gave them the ability to do the social credit score thing because
yes.
They put cameras all throughout major cities in China that can literally track every single individual that walks in the frame. And so they know if you, what do you call when you don't go across?
Jaywalk.
If you jaywalk, goes off your credit score because they see that. If you, you know, they can see everything and they can, the cameras can detect your face. And that's, I'm pretty sure I saw the reason that is, and the reason that's able to happen is because of 5G. And it's scary because in the United States, we're all switching to 5G. They're pushing us to go to 5G. You got the CG, what was it? The score, what score?
ESG score.
ESG score. And, you know, that's just one level that could potentially happen to the individual. But if we're really fucking crazy, they would just adopt the social credit score thing from China.
Has there ever been a time of so many acronyms?
Like, I know. Good
there's
God.
More three-lettered acronyms. I cannot keep them all straight.
Good Lord.
But this is how efficient that system is in China. I heard a guy tell this story. If you are a person in China that you actually have an automobile and you are driving down the street and someone turns in front of you and hits your car, you get out, you two exchange information, you take a picture of the damage. Within an hour, the money to fix your car and the body shop that's going to fix it, the address, the number, all that, the money is deposited in your account and the information of where to take your car is on your phone. That's, and we're talking a society of how many people?
Lot. I don't know the number.
The amount of money that has been invested in AI and machine learning and server farms. I mean, I would hate to know the server power that takes to do that. But that was a story that a guy gave a presentation. It was actually at a Web3 conference. But that's very powerful. And so that example, that's a great example. I mean, you look at that and you say, well, that's really pretty awesome that you could do that. But it's also
think about all the bad
terrifying.
Things. Yeah, think about all the bad things that could have, that technology could have on people.
We're heading to a time, a divergence. I would say a divergence. So on the one hand, and you all know that I'm a Tesla junkie. And I see the future with so much opportunity as far as I believe that we are headed to a time that the cost of energy is going to go to nothing. I believe we're headed to a time that because of battery technology, renewable energy technology, and nuclear energy, if we finally get out of our way and realize how powerful nuclear really is and that it can be done in a way that it's not going to harm the environment the way we've had, you know, Chernobyl or whatever. I honestly believe that we're going to get to a time where energy will be limitless. In other words,
if they allow it to be.
If they allow it to be.
Because they got to push that fucking narrative, man.
Right.
They got to get those ESG scores.
Okay.
Come on.
So that goes with my point. So I believe that if you let the free market function and you let people like Elon Musk do what he's trying to do, we could have a future where energy is not the limiting factor in being able to produce anything. And I also believe that robotics and AI can be done correctly to where all of the worst jobs that we have to do as a society can be mechanized to the point that people can use their time to create and to be productive in ways that we've never been able to do because we've never had the time to do it because we've got all this other stuff we've got to do.
It gives more power to the individual than ever before.
Right.
If the future goes that route and we can... government and politicians and people don't push their narrative and they allow it to happen.
But then on the flip side of that, that same technology, there is a dark, dark, dark path that if corrupted by government,
elitists,
globalists, whatever you want to say,
military industrial complex,
that same technology, that same robotics, machine learning, AI could ultimately destroy our, well, could destroy human existence. And that's a rabbit hole that if you go down there, it's pretty scary. And at some point in the future, I don't know when it's going to be, but, and I don't know whether to wish that it's in my lifetime or not. Maybe sometimes I feel like I hope I arrive at death's door before we get to that fork in the road. But I know it will be in your lifetime that it's going to go one way or the other because you can't have both outcomes. I don't think you can have both outcomes. Mm-hmm. China is definitely on the other road.
The shitty road.
But it gives me a lot of hope because I truly believe that their society is going to utterly and completely collapse. And it may be a lesson to the elitists.
It'll give us a fresh example.
Exactly.
Of why that doesn't work.
And I think we need that because we have incredibly short memories. Because after World War II and we saw what the Nazis did, the whole world said that'll never happen again. We'll never allow a nation to oppress its people and to oppress an ethnic group the way that they did. And guess what? We're not even, what are we, 70 years later? And we have a country that is oppressing all of its ethnic groups.
Well, and they're not the only one. Look at North Korea. North Korea is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I would argue it might be worse than China.
And our ability to set apart our personal politics for the betterment of our country, our attention span on that's even worse because 9/11 was the most uniting bad thing that's happened to the United States since Pearl Harbor. And 9/11, that united front that you saw between the political parties and Americans in general didn't even last a decade. Probably didn't even last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I'll freely admit, part of that...
shitty media.
Yeah, well, and politicians taking advantage and, you know, should we have done what we did? I don't know. But all I'm saying is that period of time where people were willing to set aside their personal differences and unite around the fact that we're all Americans and this is the greatest country on earth that has ever been gone in, or ever been started in modern history as far as freedoms. I don't know if it lasted 5 years or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where that divergent I don't know how far we have before that happens, and I don't know which way we go.
But China's a good example of what not to do.
100%.
And hopefully people can take that into account when thinking about new technology arising.
100%.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. Yeah. Going back on to kind of, we kind of started with COVID, and then we kind of got into technology because they're kind of both at play here in this one topic. But I will just say, to talk about COVID again, other thought that I had, seeing all this shit come out of China, it really put the thought in my head, if us as Americans did not stand up and say no more of this COVID bullshit in our school boards, at our local level, you know, business owners saying fuck you to the government for telling them to close down their businesses, those kind of things, you know, as it started going on, more and more Americans woke up to the fact that we cannot stay shut down. We cannot do this for this disease that they claim kills the fucking planet. It's kind of the media portrayed it that way anyway, especially in the beginning. But if we would have not done that...
how bad could it have gotten?
Yeah, how bad could have it gotten?
It could have gotten very bad.
Yeah.
And don't kid yourself. There are plenty of people within power in our country that would have gone as far as rounding up people who were not willing to get the vaccine and put them in a camp.
You saw it in Australia.
They would have done it.
They would have done it. I believe they would have done it too. And I believe that we were heading to the vaccine passport, and that was, I felt like they were trying to get away with as much as they possibly could.
Absolutely, 100%.
As much as they possibly could. They push us and push us and push us until we finally said no.
So I think that you can say that really COVID, however far you want to go down the conspiracy tunnel, COVID was a dry run as far as a political.
Well, you've already
goes.
Fucking seen them talk about, oh, just, well, we got the zombie flu. If any of you have been seeing any
I know nothing
new story,
about this. So
zombie viruses, they found a zombie virus, I think, in Antarctica that's been frozen for centuries. And now
in the ice.
And that's, it's, if it can last in the ice in frozen conditions, they're calling it the zombie virus. And so they took it back to the lab and they're messing around with it. And you've heard politicians talk about, oh, well, if there's another COVID, or, you know, prepare for the second pandemic. Or you've heard some buzz about a second pandemic. This was a fucking dry run. They will use this shit again and they will see how far they can push it. And when it happens, we as Americans cannot and will not allow that shit to get pushed further than it did this time. Because if we do, we will end up like China is right now. We will end up. I don't care how bad the disease is. We cannot live as people. That is not living to me.
No,
what is happening in China, that is not living to me. That is imprisonment. That is not what the human experience should be. I don't give a fuck if zombies are roaming the goddamn country. I will not be thrown in a fucking pod and given a meal every day and not be able to get out. I won't. I'm not doing that. You'll have to put me into the ground 6 feet under before I do that. I'm not doing that. And it's the last thing I will say about that. We cannot give up our fucking guns. We cannot give up our Second Amendment right. We have got to keep that right. And that is, China right now is a perfect example as to why we have to.
Yeah.
Because I think also what held the American government back from doing what China is doing now and what Australia was doing, what all these other countries across the world were doing during COVID when it was, everyone was fucking freaking out. What held them back is because us as Americans, they know how many guns we have. They know that.
No, they don't.
They don't
they know. They know that they don't know.
They
how know, many
yeah,
guns we
they
have.
Know that guns are everywhere yeah. and citizens have, most citizens have weapons.
But and all of that goes back to say, it isn't just, it isn't, yes, I believe that is an important part as to how we have kept politicians in check is the fact that
and,
they know that there is a huge percentage of the population that push come to shove will pick up a gun and defend their property, their family, their way of life. But
and I would say to that also, it also kept other countries out from invading America.
Oh.
Because what, you're going to go against the military and then you're going to go against the American people that all have all these weapons? Good luck, bud. You're going to be fighting a second army.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. Nobody else has that shit.
And we said this, I think we said this just the last podcast. It is your responsibility that it is your responsibility to be basically to be responsible, to be able to take care of yourself, because we are getting to a point where for our local societies, your local town, your local neighborhood, your cul-de-sac, if anything happens for your group that where you live to get through whatever happens, you have to be able to do some stuff. Like, you got to be able to take care of yourself. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't do anything to help anyone else around you. So, we kind of got off there, but you know what? Make 2023 the year that you learn how to do something you don't know how to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important for you to be, I'm not saying everybody needs to be a prepper and be able to, live off grid, but know how to do some stuff. Know how to take care of yourself. Know how to take care of your family. Be responsible, because that's how we make this country better.
Yep, I'd agree. I really do sympathize with people that are in China right now. I really do. I think it's terrible what's happening there. It's terrible what's happening there. And I really want people to think about what could have happened during the first COVID
outbreak
if we wouldn't have fought back. Could this have happened here? Really think about it. If we didn't go back on them and push back, would that have happened here?
Yeah. We're all very lucky that there were governors in states throughout the United States that stood firm.
Yeah. And patriots. There was business owners that stood for it. There was people in local communities that went to the school boards. There's people that were going to the local meetings in towns and in cities. Straight up patriots that were defending this, defending our rights. And yeah, those are the kind of people that we need going forward, and we're going to need more of them going forward, because this kind of shit, I don't know if it'll ever stop, and it might continue to keep coming our way. So we got to get more people that are for what this country has stood for and hopefully will continue to stand for. Yeah. Stand for. So, okay, that was a damn good one. You need a break. You need a little bit of a drinky poo.
No, I have my.
You're not parched yet. You've done a lot of talking.
Sauce.
I had a little bit of a freaking mumble my words moment there, guys. I'm sorry. Sometimes sometimes I get really excited and I got the thought in my head and my mouth moves faster. My mouth moves too fast and I just can't get it out right. So I guess you could say I wasn't meant for podcasting, but I'm trying my best here. I'm trying my best here, guys. So bear with me on that.
We got one more. Don't we have one more point we want to talk about?
I don't know, but you can sure go for it.
Okay, this is not on our list. We were thinking about the things we wanted to cover today, and I was really fired up about the Twitter deal. But another thing that's playing out, which may affect some of you, may not affect any of you, is the FTX crypto collapse. So there was an exchange called FTX. Sam Brinkman-Fried, I think is his name, he's hanging out in a villa in the Bahamas because his ass is grass. They suffered a bunch of losses, and basically their exchange collapsed. And all I want to say about it is this. There's a bunch of people pissed off, and a bunch of people are going to use this as a reason why the government needs to get involved in the cryptocurrency business. And my answer to that is no, because there is a phrase within the world of crypto that's been around since Bitcoin started, and that phrase is
if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto.
Not your keys, not your crypto. Okay, so and we talked about this, I have a Trezor. So I have a digital wallet. All of my crypto is in that wallet. It is not on exchange. Anybody that bought crypto through FTX, if they would have taken that off of FTX and put it in a private wallet, they would have lost no money. But we, as a society, always are looking for the easy way to make a buck. And so a whole bunch of people left their crypto on that exchange, and then you can stake that crypto. And what that means is basically, it's no different than I can go to the bank today and I can get a CD for $5,000, $10,000, $30,000, and they pay me interest on it. Well, I can take my Bitcoin, I can take my Ethereum, I can take my Doge, I can take whatever shit coin I got, and I can stake it. I can give it to the exchange, and they will loan it out to people. And in return, you can loan it out for 30 days, 60 days, 180 days, a year. And for that, you get a return on it. And that's what a bunch of people did. And they staked it with FTX. And guess what happened? The exchange collapsed because they took your money, they loaned it out, or they used it for themselves, and they didn't have very good oversight, and they fucked it up. And now then you're ass out. Well, that guy should totally be prosecuted for that, but if you lost money in that, that's on you, because you could have taken that crypto that you bought and you could have pulled it off that exchange and you could have put it in a private hardware wallet and you would have every bit of it today. So that's what I love about crypto. I love about crypto is it is self-responsibility. It is transparent transactions. And in this case, it wasn't transparent transactions, which should have been an eye-opener to everybody involved. But not your keys, not your crypto. So if you're thinking about dabbling in any cryptocurrency, buy yourself a hardware wallet. Buy that crypto, put it on a hardware wallet till you're ready to sell it or invest it in something else, whatever. Anyway, that's my...
I would agree. Last hot topic, guys. Hot topic. I don't know why.
This is like a B-list hot topic.
Yeah, this is a B-list hot topic.
This is just on here because it really pisses you off.
It does kind of piss me off. I don't know why we got away from saying hot topics. So Biden's non-binary nuclear waste guru held on to a Vera Bradley bag for a month after stealing it from an airport and unpacking female victims' clothes, but claims it was an accident. This is a transgender person, and I am all for, if you want to be a transgender, go for it. But as far as the pronouns, I'm not an expert on it. I don't know what this person wants to go by. So it looks like a man to me, and I'm going to call him a he. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but that's how the fuck it's going to go on this podcast. I don't know. What he looks like to me is a man, so I'm going to call him a man. He kept his job despite being charged with theft, and the White House has said nothing. So this guy, I think, is the Secretary of Nuclear Waste for the Biden administration, works at the White House. This happens. The White House hasn't said shit. Gets charged with theft. And so his name is Sam Britton, admitted to stealing the bag. Sam Britton admitted to stealing the bag, but claimed it was taken accidentally because he was tired. He was tired.
I'm tired.
So let's play the scenario out real quick. Let's play this out. This man was hired at a pretty high level position working for the White House. What a pretty good honor, even though it's under the Biden administration, still a great honor. And he decides that he's going to go to an airport. And mind you, he went in with a bag not checked. He didn't have a bag checked. Goes in.
He just had a carry-on.
And this is a suitcase. When I refer to a bag, this is a suitcase that he stole. Goes through the line, whatever. Flies. Gets there. Gets to the other airport. Goes through. Sees a bag that he likes. And says to himself, you know, that's not my bag, but I sure do like that bag. And takes that fucking bag and just walks out and goes and on a month-long trip to Europe, then comes back, then he gets caught because obviously the authorities saw that he took it and he got in trouble and he got charged. But just sit here and think for a second. You got to be a really fucking shitty person to do that. You have no moral compass. You're walking through an airport and you are so entitled to say, oh, I like that bag. I don't know whose it is, but I'm going to take it because I like it. And you just take it and you walk off. And then when you get caught, you don't fess up to it, really. You just say, oh, it was accident because I was tired and confused. Buddy, if you're tired and fucking confused and you can't walk through an airport correctly, why in the hell are you working for the White House, working in a nuclear waste? Something to do with nuclear war, nuclear nukes, whatever. And if you can't walk through a fucking airport correctly and you don't have the moral compass to not steal something from somebody just because you like it, that really, to me, makes you a really shitty person, one, but it really kind of worries me a little bit of what are the kind of people working at the White House?
You saying you think he might be entitled?
Oh, I'd say for 100% he's entitled. And I think it's not because this person's trans. It's not because of that. I'm not hating on the trans community. I don't care what gender you are, what race you are, what ethnicity, what religion you want to practice, whatever. I don't give a shit. Dad doesn't give a shit. We've talked about that many times. But I think a lot of people on the left, especially people in media, especially people in the government, I think for a long time, they feel like they can get away with this kind of shit. and have no repercussions, or it's not going to get talked about in the media, so no one's going to find out and their reputation isn't going to go to shit.
Well,
but
I don't think that the people, I don't think that in the circle that they associate with, there, I don't think there'll be any repercussions. Like, I don't think that, I mean, obviously, yes, he's charged, but at most, he's going to get a fine.
Yeah, the charges are this. If found guilty, he's looking at 5 years in jail.
And he won't get that.
And a $10,000 fine.
He won't get that.
So it's either 5 years in jail or a $10,000 fine or both.
So here's what's going to happen. So he's not a threat, and the prisons, jails are all overcrowded with people that have done a lot worse things than that. So they're going to plea bargain that down, and he's going to pay a fine, and hell, the Department of Energy will probably pay the fine for him because I'm sure he was on company business. It'll be a slap on the wrist, and off he goes, because that's how he is an elite. And he isn't even, I'll bet you, he isn't even dealing with this. He's got three lawyers from the Department of Energy that's taking care of this for him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a minor, you know, this is like a B-list politician or a B-list government official doing a B-list crime. But it's just an example of the bigger problem we have in this country with no moral compass.
Entitlement. No ownership. No accountability.
No, and I...
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Do
what feels good. And the other thing that I'll say, and I'm glad that he's not going this route because I haven't seen him go this route, but you brought this up before we got on this podcast. I was really thinking, or what you said...
That he was singled out.
That he hasn't done this, and I hope he doesn't, but if he comes out and says some bullshit like he's being discriminated against because he's a trans person.
Yeah.
That is why he thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do. If he comes out and says that, he knows that he can use that as a weapon against airports, security, whoever. He can throw that in their face and then people will pile on top of it with his narrative because that's how the world works now. People don't research the facts. They'll see surface level bullshit. They'll get on his narrative, get on his team, and they'll just attack and attack and attack and attack. And I think corporations are a little scared of that. And so that's also in his favor. He isn't doing that, which I applaud him for that. I hope he doesn't. But that was something that you threw out that I hope he doesn't go down that route.
Yeah.
And like I said, wrong is wrong. No matter if you are white, black, Hispanic, Asian, gay, lesbian, trans, Jewish, Christian.
Pony boy,
you're green, you're a fucking alien, you're a zombie, whatever. It doesn't matter. Wrong is wrong, period. And it just is really discouraging to think that a government official works in the White House, works with nuclear waste, just feels so entitled and obligated to see a bag and just take it because he likes it.
Well,
and just doesn't think about the other person at all. Doesn't think about the person that has that bag. That owns that bag. Doesn't think about it. Could you walk through an airport and do that and feel good about it? And just go on a month long trip in Europe and just be like, I don't give a fuck.
No.
No. And I think most people could agree that no, they could not do that. But there are some people that do that, and they're shitty people. And I guess there's government officials that work at the White House that are shitty people like that that feel like they can just do that.
But what you're talking, so what you said when wrong is wrong, see, I think that's where we are in this country is I'm pretty sure that we could find somebody that would argue with you about that wrong is not wrong. Like, wrong is not universal anymore. Our society has digressed to the point that somebody would argue with you that he deserved that bag. That obviously the person that had that was well enough off that they could, rather than a regular suitcase, they could have a Vera Wang
Suitcase. Vera Bradley.
Vera Bradley.
Sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, Vera Wang. Her stuff's at Kohl's, so that's not very high dollar at all. But Vera Bradley must be better. I don't know.
I don't know what it costs. I don't know what brand it is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody, literally, I guarantee you, somebody would argue with you that
he deserves that bag.
He couldn't have that, and he wanted it, and he should have it. And that, you know, if you had to walk in his shoes, because obviously he is discriminated against and, you know, he's had all this hardship because that's why he's trans and that
person's privilege that has that bag.
Yeah,
so
privileged person. I'm sure the person that had that bag's probably, you know, whatever.
And so they would make that argument with
you. So you know, we're at a point where people want to argue everything. And so the idea that there are universal truths,
it's kind of fading.
I believe that there are universal
truths. I think most people do. I think people listening to this podcast do. I think most normal, regular people that are in this country day to day think
that way.
Well,
there you go. Labeling people as normal.
Well, fuck, cancel us.
I mean, but that's
we're a bunch of bigots. Cancel us.
The problem that we have is I was just talking about how, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to unite us. And I don't know whether we can get united because we want to argue about something as little as this, whether or not somebody was justified in taking a bag that wasn't theirs. And you will find people that will argue with you that he was justified to do that, even if he knew that was his bag, which obviously
wasn't his bag.
He wasn't that confused.
Yeah.
But that's what's so crazy is it's a culture war. And we are going to spend, I believe that if the United States completely falls apart, it will be because the political class of this country has done such a good job of getting us to spend all our time fighting and dividing over social issues.
Dumb shit.
Stupid shit that in the grand scheme of things does not matter. Mm-hmm. That we have spent all our time fighting about shit that doesn't matter to where the defense of the country, the fiscal responsibility of our government, the moral litmus tests as to whether or not someone's fit to serve our country, that all that shit just is left to rot because we spend all our time arguing about stupid social issues.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that more than anything else is what, if it is to happen, that is what will cause it. And this is just an example.
Yeah, it's just
that
another
guy
example.
Should be out on his ass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the fact that the White House hasn't said shit, they're not going to say shit because, and let's be honest, this is not a this is not scream qualified for the job. No. If this was any, let's be really fucking honest right now. If this was any other group of person, if this was a white person that was not trans, was not gay, was a regular white man or woman, white woman or man, they would be gone. They would be gone.
Well,
but the reason that they hired him in the first place, let's be fucking honest, ladies and gentlemen, is because he is a transgender.
Quota.
That's why. And if this would have happened and he was any other ethnic group, almost, I would say, 80% of any other ethnic group?
I don't think ethnic group, social group.
Social group. Well, because do you think he would have got fired if he was black?
Yeah.
You think he would have been fired if he's black?
If he was white, if he was black, if he was Asian, if he was any ethnicity, he would have been fired. But because he's trans and that is the hot
button issue they're shoving down our throat. Yep. Yeah, let's be honest. That's why he was hired. This scream's not qualified.
Now, what's really shitty is when all of those people that are trans, when the bus moves on to whatever, I don't know what the next group that is going to get thrown out there that everybody discriminates against and everybody needs a chance. I don't know. I don't know, people that want to marry horses, maybe.
I was gonna say fuck animals. Well, I really whatever. Was.
Whatever it is. When that happens, and then because like I feel like that if you're just gay, you've already been kicked. Like, so if you're a minority, if you're Hispanic, if you are African American, if you're Asian, you don't mean shit. You're no better. You are no better than just us poor white people. They
don't care anymore. Same.
You have no, like, there's,
they can't run on that really
no,
anymore.
No, you can't run on that. You're of no use to them. That if you're a woman, you're of no use to them. Now, if you were a woman that has become a man, or a man that identifies as a woman, or you're pre-op, post-op, whatever it is, yes, you are. That is important to the narrative today.
Right now.
But now what happens when we move past that and, you know, I don't know, you want to marry a horse. Then all these people that are trans, they're going to be standing around going, well, what about me? Yeah, you know, what right. about me?
Then where's our stories? Where's yeah, you defending us?
Why isn't anybody promoting us? It's a means to an end. It's hilarious.
Politicians just continue to go from group to group.
Because
to group
the
to group.
Goal is to divide us. The 100% it is divide us.
That is division at its finest. This is bullshit. This is a shitty person. I don't care. Wrong is wrong. And this shit should be dealt with. It shouldn't have been a story. They need to fire him. And it scares me that this person is a government official because clearly they don't have a moral compass. And that's what we'll end with. I hope you guys had a great, I hope you guys enjoyed this show. We enjoyed it. We love doing it. We appreciate every single one of you guys that pay the fee, share the show, every single one of you guys that continue to listen and watch the podcast. We're going to keep her going. We're probably going to get a guest on next week, so be looking for a guest coming. Submit your questions for Barn Talk Q&A episodes. If you want us to answer your questions, submit them at barntalkshow@gmail.com. That's where you can reach us with your questions. And without
further share the show.
Share the show. Pay the fee. You know the drill.
And buy a t-shirt.
Buy
Everybody
a t-shirt.
Needs a t-shirt. Yep. I got a blue one the other day.
Yep.
Really
you, want,
like it.
You want a Barn Talk shirt, Barn Talk sweatshirts getting cold. We got them in the link in description on YouTube if you're watching. And we got it in the show notes if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to. So thank you so much again, guys. We'll see you back here in a week for another Barn Talk episode.